Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything in the sun relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing us with your friends and families. I mean, we're well over a million listeners and viewers, so we're very, very happy with that, and we appreciate you and wouldn't happen without you. But today, hey, Thanksgiving's just around the corner. Then we have Christmas. Many people are looking to buy gifts, food, travel, and it's stressful. That's why I had Brett Bernstein here to help us through the holiday spending, make it simple, how to budget, plan, most importantly, how to celebrate without stress. Brett, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you asking me to come here.
For those of you who don't know Brett, he founded XML Financial Group. He's an active financial planner, certified financial planner. He assists clients with holistic approaches to goal setting, problem solving. Prior to that, he was a senior vice president with Merrill Lynch. Brett is also a serial entrepreneur, actively investing in many startup companies. He's also a sought-after speaker, industry commentator, has numerous contributions to Wall Street Journal, Financial Advisor Magazine, Investment News, and more, even Forbes in there. So with that, we're really, really happy that we have Brett here. So again, Brett, thanks for being here today, and let's go ahead and get started. So you've been doing the financial planning for a long time. All our listeners and viewers like to know, hey, what got you into that?
Yeah, that's great story. I actually was set to go pre-med, and my father, a retired physician, explained what managed care was all about. And when I learned about that, I said, well, I don't know if I like that. And he said, well, if you want to help people, why don't you intern with my stockbroker, right? A stockbroker back then. And I started interning, and lo and behold, I swapped from pre-med to business. And here I am 27 years later and love what I do. I get to help people, but I don't deal with managed care.
Well, that's great. You don't have to deal with blood every day too. So that's kind of good.
Good point.
Well, you know what? We got the holidays coming up here, Thanksgiving. I mean, we've already seen the catalogs for Christmas coming out for kids and all that stuff. They're trying to get everybody going early, and people are trying to figure out how they're going to spend, what they're going to do. So let's just start talking about budgeting for the holidays. What's the big thing that everybody should be focusing on?
Yeah, I mean, you said it best. I feel like every year, early and earlier, I see the stores, you know, setting up, or I see the magazines coming out. But I think the first thing is people have to really just look at their normal expenses that they have between, let's say, now and the end of the year, right? So you have to make sure you have covered your normal expenses that you need day to day. And then you have to say, okay, is there a reasonable budget I have? Or are there specific things or experiences that I want my friends and family to have? So sometimes people set a number and that's it. And sometimes people set the experiences and back into the budget. And look, each person's particular situation is different, but I think both approaches can be beneficial depending on your situation.
So when you're talking about experiences, you probably worked with a number of people. What type of experience would people, I mean, like travel, family get-togethers, what are the experiences that people are into?
Yeah, I mean, it's all of the above. I mean, for my birthday, my dad just got me something. He and I are going to go drive a tank and you get to smush cars. So, I mean, you see everything, right? I mean, so no, it could be an experience from a trip, right? Mm-hmm. A family trip. It could be, you know, going to a spa, right? Cooking classes, driving tanks and smushing cars. So it really is the gamut of things. I mean, you'd be amazed at stuff that I hear people do. Some don't surprise me. Some I'm like, hey, if that's your thing, God bless you, you know, enjoy it.
I know. I was just curious more so for myself, because I was just at Dream Racing in Las Vegas, where they bring out the Ferraris, the Lamborghinis, oh, wow, the Porsches, and they have a coach, professional race car driver, drive with you and teach you how to do it. It's very cool, especially when you get to 175 miles down the straight.
Yeah, that'll make you clench a little bit.
Actually, it didn't. It's kind of fun.
I love it.
So here we go. We're looking at gifting, entertaining, travel. What are the things that people need to start looking at with those?
There's different things that you have to think about. One, are there coupons or opportunities, right? They talk about, for example, when you're booking flights and things like that, the thing that you have to look at is, are there certain days of the week or certain times where you might get a better flight? And look, with the government shutdown right now, I think especially with, air travel, that's a little up in the air. And hopefully maybe that nudges us over the finish line to get some agreement and opening here. But I think you have to look at, are there opportunities to take advantage of something, right? A lot of times airlines will say, hey, we're offering you the ability to buy up miles at a discount, right? And those are the type of things I just delete them. But now you have to start thinking about, maybe I should. So if I am going to look at taking a trip, or I'm going to offer a trip, even if it's a holiday gift for the, and we're going to do it in the new year, why not look at buying a discount, right? I mean, restaurants do it all the time. Spend $100, get a $25 gift card for free. Well, airlines and other things do that as well. And I think people just need to pay attention. I'm not certainly one for playing the credit card game or racking up debt, but a lot of credit cards do offer opportunities. So sometimes people will open a specific credit card because they're given, a certain amount of hotel stays or airline miles. And I'm not saying to do it to carry debt. I'm saying there could be a strategy where maybe I get rid of my ABC Visa card and I get my DEF card because it allows me to get five hotel rooms nights, which can be the difference of someone taking a family trip or not.
I actually did that one. We got over 100,000 points by putting regular expenses that we typically would put on there on a credit card. And you know what? Basically, you went to Hawaii for free. So it's
That's
that doesn't
exactly
hurt.
it. People just need to spend a little bit of time. Look, what I do is planning, right? I think ahead. So if people would do the same thing, not just in their overall financial situation, but a trip, gifting, experiences, you can find really interesting opportunities out there. And if you're willing to be a little flexible sometimes on when you do things. I get that people with little kids and holiday times, but if you're maybe don't have to be tied around kids' school schedules, the difference of 1 week of when you travel, something could be 50% cheaper. So also having a little flexibility could be of interest as well.
That's good to know. So, with all this going on, what's the best way to stay on track?
I think it's like anything in life, setting a plan, right? Have a plan, monitor it, and then of course be nimble that if you need to make changes. But a lot of times people don't, right? So if you're looking at planning a big trip, whatever the big trip means to someone, and you decide in January, I want to do this trip for Christmas break, well, what's it going to cost? How much do I need to save per month? Or, let's say you're paid twice a month. You know what? If I can take X out of each paycheck and I just move it into my money market account, my money market's giving me 3 to 4%, then by the time the trip comes, I should have it paid for. And maybe you won't really notice it as much, but that's not how most people operate, right? Most people, I want to, it's either last minute or I want to do this trip. And then the next thing you know, how do I pay for it? They put it on a credit card, they rack up the debt. And before you know it, they're paying 21% interest, and that trip becomes the most expensive thing they've ever done. So really plan early, monitor it, and be nimble, I think, along the way.
That's good to know. We're talking with Brett Bernstein, and let's talk a little bit about holiday debt. Everybody, they look at, hey, how do I get through buying these gifts? How do I get through doing the travel like we were just talking about? How do we work on avoiding those things to make sure we don't have that big hangover come January 15th when we get our first bill?
Yeah, I think the first thing, like we've talked about, before, is planning and saving ahead, right? I mean, that is the first thing. The second thing is, are there things you can cut out, right? Everything's a give and take, right? I mean, do I need the Starbucks coffee for $7 a day when I can make coffee at home? But saving the delta between the Starbucks and my homemade coffee might be the difference of me actually building a really significant gift for my family and friends, right? So sometimes we have to make sacrifices. Another way is when people get, if they're in a job, that they get bonuses, right? A traditional salary and bonus job. I think that you should always save some of your bonus. Some of it has to go to taxes, and you should enjoy some of it, right? I mean, you didn't work all that. So I think, again, if you're in a bonus structure, if you're in a commission structure, right? Making sure you're putting not only money away for taxes, but putting a little bit away for the things that you might want to be able to do. So that is all planning ahead. But sometimes people are in a predicament where they can't. Right. And look, for a lot of America, I can appreciate that that is the situation. So you have to try to, what debt can you take on that's manageable? Not paying ungodly rates on credit cards. So are there opportunities if you did have to build up some credit card debt that you can move it to another credit card that's either at zero interest or a lower interest, right? Things like that can help. I'm not a fan of borrowing, but People sometimes can borrow against their 401k. So if you do have to borrow money, at least you are forced to pay yourself back, right? Because you have to pay back your 401k with interest. So at least you're paying yourself the interest back. I'm not a fan of taking on home equity debt and things like that, but if you can, if you know you have to take on debt, then plan for it and try to be structured or strategic in the way that you do it, because you don't want it to become a snowball rolling down the hill that just gets bigger and bigger, and then you're in a tough spot that you can't unwind it.
Yeah, I agree with that. You don't want to start taking on debt, especially if you haven't learned how to deal with that debt, or you're just expediting the problem. So now let's also talk about we're coming towards year end. Everybody's trying to figure out, hey, what do I do? We got another, was it 6 weeks or so? And hey, the tax year's over. So how do we put things in place right now? And then with all this uncertainty that's going on, we got the government shut down. Let's talk a little bit about investments maybe to consider before the end of the year.
A couple of things for retirement plans. There are some retirement plans like a 401k that must be funded with the employee contribution by 1231. So if there's savings you want to be doing in those types of plans, you have a deadline. Now, other types of savings, Roth IRAs, SEPs, IRAs, those go to the tax year, right? So you have until your tax filing, so you'll have to do them now. So I think thinking ahead on some of those savings. Second thing is, while the market's down a little today and was yesterday, in the scheme of things, most people in taxable accounts are probably in positive territory. So currently, there isn't a lot of tax loss harvesting that people can do. That doesn't mean that that's not going to happen with volatility. And so if you think back to this year, when the kind of Liberation Day happened, and this is not meant to be a political comment at all, but the markets took a big dip, right? Good advisors, do-it-yourselfers, should have taken advantage of selling at the dip, locking in losses, because you're going to need those losses to either offset future gains or distributions from mutual funds and other things. So being active and mindful is important. But with all the gains that are out there, I do think a lot of people might be in a position that they punt until next year. So you could see some pressured selling in January when people can raise the cash they need. Steve, to your point, credit card bills, taxes that might be due if you have quarterly estimates. So there could be some selling in January, because then they can pump those taxes for an entire another year. So I don't know if there's a lot to do in the last 6, 7 weeks if the markets stay high, but if we get some negative pressure on them, there could be opportunities to look at tax loss harvesting.
Okay, so let's talk about the investment side of things. There's so many people that just sit at their jobs and they're like, okay, I'm retiring December 31st. It's like, I'm done.
I'm done.
So if somebody's thinking that way, and I know we've got 6 weeks before the end of the year, how should they be planning for something like that? I know you're a planner, this is what you do, and they probably should have been planning like 6 months ago or a year ago, but hey, you're going to retire in 6 weeks, or you just found out now that the company's going to say, hey, we're giving you a buyout, or hey, we're going to be laying off people and it's going to happen in January. So how, what are the things you need to take a look at right now? How do you get prepared for something like that? Who should they be talking to? And obviously it's somebody like yourself, but let's talk about that, because that's really important now.
Yeah, it starts with someone like me, right? A wealth advisor that knows what they're doing. The other thing is you need to talk to the benefits people at the company. You need to make sure that you have maximized any pre-tax savings, right? Whether it's an HSA account or 401k, right? Make sure you're not leaving any of that on the table. You want to understand if you have any unused PTO, right? Are they going to pay you out on that? Is it use it or lose it? Or are you going to take it and just coast into the rest of the year? So you don't want to leave benefits on the table. You want to understand, very importantly, your health options. And obviously, it depends what age you are, if you're of Medicare age or not. But you want to understand what health options there are. Are there continuations of it? Are you going to be on COBRA, right? Do you have to go onto the exchange? So, usually, getting with a benefits person, HR for the company, they are usually going to be able to walk you through step by step by step. And then you have additional things like, was I waiting to file for Social Security, right? Are you at that age? And so, are you going to file for Social Security? And so, really, it's a combination of the company's HR slash benefits people and your wealth advisor, because both of those people have no emotion, right? They're giving you factual things that you need to make sure you do for your situation and remove the emotion of, wow, I've been with this company for 30 years, or I can't believe they're laying me off or giving me a buyout, right? That's emotional. You need people on your team that can remove that emotion and make sure you're making sound advice or sound decisions with the advice that you have.
I agree, because the reality is most companies, they're making an unemotional decision to lay somebody off or to reduce staff or to do a buyout. And you should be operating the same way for your future. What should people be doing if all of a sudden, hey, I'm getting laid off and I think I might be able to retire? How do I figure out if I can?
So the first thing is, I'm a big believer in doing a financial plan. I say it's a history and physical, but you keep your clothes on for mine. You want to know, what do you own? What do you owe? Where are you today? Where are you trying to get to? The sources of income, right? You quickly need to load in, what can we afford to do, right? Because the planning is really going to give you the opportunity to understand, can I afford to fully retire? Do I need to take Social Security depending on my age now or wait? What pensions do I have? Am I going to have to tap my assets? What about required minimum distribution, right? Am I at an age where I have to start taking money out of my IRAs at ordinary income? But are there expenses that I may need to consider cutting back? And look, there's a lot of free tools out there. I mean, AI is amazing. It can give you quick answers. So if someone needs to quickly do something, sure, that makes sense. But it's not going to give you the in-depth and I believe the human piece of making decisions because it's not always black and white. Sometimes you got to take off the financial hat and say, let's talk about the real world, right? In the real world, you should be able to cut X in expenses, but I can't sell my house that easily. So that's not in the real world. So what can we do? So I think that's where the human overlay comes on to the technology piece. But it's planning. Yeah, it's really planning. And it can be last minute planning, but it's better than no planning.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. That's one of many of our listeners were saying, hey, this their real concerns are some of them have been recently been notified of a layoff. And some are like, hey, I'm looking to retire. I've got 6 weeks to go before I'm done.
Right,
What
right.
should I do? You're like, oh, okay. So one of the things that people tend to ask about here is, we're end of the year, it's the holiday season. We want to start giving. What's the best way to go about doing something like that? Or what
Yeah.
are the options for that?
There's a lot. So one of the most underutilized tools is QCDs. So if you are of required minimum distribution age, you can take money out of your retirement account for the required minimum distribution and give it to qualified charitable deduction. Don't quote me on the number, but you can give up to about $102,000 of your required minimum distribution directly to charity. So if someone is, and again, I'm not a CPA, I'm not playing tax advice, but if you write a check to a charity for, let's say, $5,000, you don't get 100% deduction on that. If you have a required minimum distribution that you must take at ordinary income and you give that same $5,000 to the charity, you don't pay tax on $5,000 of that distribution. It is a very smart way to give money to charity. So that's number one. Number two is highly appreciated securities, right? I mean, obviously, most charities can accept them because they get to do the sale. So that's one another strategy. Some people use donor advised funds, a DAF, as you may have heard of. Very easy to set up. But Fidelity, for example, has one. You can set up a DAF. You can put investments into a DAF. You can sell them without triggering gain. You get the deduction, and then you can divvy up where you want the money to go. Some more sophisticated DAFs actually let you to put the money in, get the deduction now, and then divvy it up over time, but you can still manage the money.
Oh.
I had a client who had some Philip Morris stock. They didn't want the charity to know if they had Philip Morris, but they wanted to donate the highly appreciated security. So we put opened a DAF, we put the Philip Morris in. Or Altshear, whichever one of the entities it was, a sin stock. They sold it in there and then gave the money to the charity. So the client got the deduction, they got the hide, if you will, that it wasn't Philip Morris, and the charity got the net proceeds. So donor advised funds are a great way if of doing charitable deductions as well.
That's great. Hey, Brett, stick with us. Everybody, stick with us. We'll be right back with more Brett Bernstein here on Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show on UK Health Radio.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything under the sun relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. And we're talking with Brett Bernstein, and we're going to be talking a little bit and answering your questions that you've been emailing into the show. The first big question was, we just saw Fed Chairman Mr. Powell lower interest rates by 25 basis points. And everybody goes, well, what does that mean to me? Okay, how does that affect me? So, Brett, I just want to pose that to you. Appreciate if you could share with our listeners and viewers what that really means to them and how it might affect them.
Yeah, so, I mean, most directly, your mortgage rates should come down. If you're looking to get a new mortgage, your money market rates will start to come down. Your credit card borrowing debt should start to come down. Your car loan rate should start to come down. So the things that we feel every day, that's the things that we should immediately see. Look, money market rates were at 4, and now they're coming down to the 3s, right? So that's where you're going to start to see. The average person is going to start to see those types of things. If you have a variable loan, a securities-based loan tied to SOFR, things tied to prime, home equity loans, the rates are all starting to come down. Now, obviously, Fed moving rates has much more impact on money supply in the economy, but keeping it on a simplistic level, that's what the average person should start to see. Lowering rates should benefit them on borrowing, but also on their savings, but it can have other consequences, whether it's the labor market or other things that can happen. So, but again, on the surface, your borrowing debt starts to come down.
So basically, so the feeling why it was done was because we're starting to see an uptick in unemployment. Is that the reason that he did that, or?
Can't speak on exactly why they did it, but I think the one specific thing that we've seen is, look, at the end of the day, the bulk of the data has been very healthy that's been out there, right? Unemployment has still been at a historical low, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, numbers move around, and with the government shutdown, we're not getting data the way that we did before. But for the most part, earnings are coming in very healthy, okay? Unemployment has been very strong. Inflation has ticked down significantly. Mm-hmm. It's not at the Fed's 2% benchmark, but it's still down very well. Hiring's been decent. Layoffs haven't been too bad. No, we see, but every day we get something unique. For example, the October numbers for seasonal hiring is the lowest it's been in a long time. You know, last year at this time, I think there were 750,000 seasonal employees that were estimated to be hired. And this year it's under 500,000. So that's not positive news. But then people get concerned about, you know, valuations and is the market too high? And we hear that. And look, you've heard about the Magnificent Seven stocks that people talk about, right? You know, AI is what's driving a lot of things right now, and the spending that's going into it, and what people are estimating, right? But when you remove the AI, which again, I'm not saying that it's not maybe slightly overvalued. I don't get some of the value, but when you start looking at more core businesses, okay, you look at some of the earnings that are coming out in staples, and I am in no way giving recommendations on buying these stocks. McDonald's, other names that you've all heard of, their earnings are coming out pretty good. And many companies are not drastically reducing their forecasts moving forward based on tariffs. What's the Supreme Court going to rule? They just heard oral arguments yesterday if the administration can keep the tariffs in place. That's not to say it's not going to have negative impact on the markets. But if you look at the fundamental data, it's still coming out fairly healthy. That does not mean there are not headwinds ahead in front of us, but there are still a lot of great data. So, but the headlines are all AI, right? This company with that company, this one's investing this billions of dollars, right? That's the headline. But then people forget, like, all the companies that we're using every day are still pretty good. I mean, the airline industry outside of the government shutdown has been pretty positive. Travel and leisure, pretty positive. When you look at where numbers of hiring are coming, hospitality, travel and leisure, if the economy was in the toilet, people wouldn't be traveling. Those companies wouldn't be hiring. So it's not to say that there isn't negative ahead of us, but I think overall in a pretty decent place.
That's good to know. So now I'm going to temper that with something that one of our viewers actually wrote in. He says, you know what, I've been watching Warren Buffett. He's a Warren Buffett fan. So he noticed that on average, Warren Buffett keeps about 17% of the portfolio in cash, or cash equivalents that he can liquidate and go accumulate things. But over the last year or so, it's gone up to about 32 to 34%, which is a significant increase. So he's like, okay, well, what should I be looking at? Is it him getting prepared to make big purchases if things go down? Is it him just getting prepared for what? I know you don't know Warren Buffett, but why would somebody do that in a portfolio?
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, I think, look, it's no longer Warren Buffett. I mean, he announced stepping down, right? But in all seriousness, I think it's hard for an individual investor to compare what a conglomerate like Berkshire does, right? Because they have deals that get unwound, right? They decide to take certain, when look, when they make a move, they're moving significant amounts of money, but they also could be piling up either could be for market downturn, but it could be because they're making a move for something, right? There's an acquisition they want to make. I think investors have to remember that it is normal for markets to correct between 3 and 5 times per year on average of 5%. And a one-time correction of at least 10% is normal. Now we had that. We had a couple fivers this year. We had over a tenner earlier this year, if not actually I think twice. But we've been on a stretch, right? So kind of post-liberation day to now, it's been straight up. We forget. Humans have short minds when they remember these things, but it is normal. So these pullbacks and things are normal. So sure, maybe Berkshire is stockpiling cash for something. It doesn't necessarily mean it's an indication the market's going to come back, pull back. But people have to remember, if the market pulls back 5, 10% from now, the world's not coming to an end. I mean, the markets are at all-time highs. So think about it. Let's say the Dow's at, I don't know, 46, 47,000, right? And I said we're going to have a 10% correction. And so the Dow goes from 47 to 42, we'll call it. If I told you 3 or 4 years ago the Dow would be at 42,000, you'd be like, Brett, you're out of your mind, right? But then the thought of, oh my God, it could go down to 42,000, it's normal. And as some of the largest Wall Street executives were talking about yesterday and the day before, and saying, hey, we could see over the next 12 or 18 months a decline, they all said it's healthy. You need that dip to spark the next growth. Except an average investor, and they even some of them said it, don't try to time the market. Have good diversity. If you are overweighted in certain asset classes, maybe reduce some of those, but don't try to time the market. Look, how many investors do we know that have been successful at turning $100,000 into hundreds of billions? One, you just brought them up, right? None of us are going to be able to compete. So let's just be smart with discipline. And I think that proves the point over time.
Yeah, it's kind of tough to compete with the goat. So I get
Yeah.
that. We have one big burning question. Probably 450 people ask this in a similar form. The cryptocurrency industry, the Bitcoin, all that kind of stuff, is it something that people should be investing in, looking at? People, I don't think people understand what's going on because, quite frankly, it's just a few years old compared to everything else. So.
It's a tricky topic, right? The problem with investing in crypto is the average investor has no idea what it is, right? They think they do. If you ask someone, what is Bitcoin? They have no idea. What's Ethereum? They have no clue. You ask them what Doge is, it's a Department of Government Efficiency to some people, and to others, right, it's a coin. But the reality is, up until a few years ago, you couldn't get it other than in the totally unregulated markets. Now, at least there are buckets of ETFs, right? You can buy publicly traded index funds where you can get access to it. So you don't have to figure out how do I open an account at Kraken or Gemini or one of these exchanges. You don't have to figure out, am I going to keep it on the exchange or put it in cold storage? And you can just buy an index and get exposure to it. Now, the problem is, you're as a wealth advisor, okay, it's very hard. And I know the administration has put some new rules and things out there. It is hard to say to someone, let's go invest in an investment that you have no idea what it is. Most advisors don't fully understand it. It's a gamble, right? So what I say to my clients are this: if I'm not a couple hours away from Atlantic City, right? Let's say we're going to hop in the car and drive to the Borgata Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City, and we're going to go to the casino and we're going to go to the roulette table and put all our money on one number and one color. How much would you do? I would never do that, Brett. No, but if you did, how much could you afford to do that gamble with? And whatever that number is that the client tells me is how much they should put in crypto. Okay. Now, that's where I start for the average investor that says, I just want to have some. Fine. $5,000 is what you might put on that. Then let's do $5,000 in an allocated. But then it comes back to people's ability to sustain risk. Risk is defined by volatility to me and loss. So, sure, there are young people that have gone and they've put 30, 40 grand in and it's worth $1 million in some crypto today. But it's on paper, right? I hate to use the gambling analogy, but there's a reason casinos have the biggest buildings in the world. You can have all the chips you want at the blackjack table, but until you go to that cage, you haven't cashed them in. And that's what I think the concern is. People have all this stuff on paper, but what does it mean? Now, do I believe in blockchain? Do I think there is validity to the concept behind different forms of crypto? Yes, I do. And if I was going to do it, I would want to buy the biggest blue chips, the names you have heard of for, the longest amount of time. I'd want to do it in the most public way, unless I had some knowledge or I was connected with an expert in it. But I do think crypto is here to stay. I don't believe it's something that's replacing fiat money. I'm not one of those people. And I just believe it's becoming an asset class that you can't ignore. Just like gold. I mean, gold has hit, as we know, all-time highs, but I wouldn't put more than a certain amount in gold. Now, yes, we know gold is, you know, is a commodity of it, right? But there's only so much you would put in gold. There's only so much you would put in silver. There's only so much you should put in crypto. And remember, it's not regulated like other investments are at the current time. So people have to take that into consideration.
That's wonderful. I appreciate that. I was reading something that only 4% of the world uses crypto. And I thought to myself, wow, there's a long way to go there if you want the rest of the world to use it. So it could be something that moves in the future, but at its infancy, it could be very scary. It's almost like the beginning of the internet, so to speak.
Agreed. But that's why they've come out with things like stable coins and others, because you're now having places that you can't say, I'm going to buy a car with Bitcoin, right? When the price of Bitcoin can move 8-10% in minutes, right? And how's that work with a car? But if you can tie that to a stable coin where now you have the ability to pay with it, that's important. The other problem is because of the lack of regulation, concerns that people have is what corrupt business is potentially tied to it. And so you have to be careful. You know, again, I'm sure every industry is different, different regulations, but I think that's the same thing where they have to figure out how to get their arms around it. But doesn't it go against the ethos of what blockchain and crypto is? It's not meant to be regulated like that. So you're taking regulated industries with an unregulated asset class and trying to marry them together.
That's wonderful. I appreciate you sharing that with everybody so everybody has a better idea of what they should be looking at and how they should be looking at if they're looking to get into crypto. Brett, hey, there's a lot of people that be listening to you today say, you know what, I'd like to have a chat with Brett or Brett's team. So how do people get a hold of Brett at XML Financial?
Yeah, no, thank you. You appreciate you having me. I love having these conversations. The easiest way to find us is on the internet, xmlfg.com. That's xmlfg.com. You can read all about us, see all the different, you know, pieces that we put out there. You can connect with our team if someone speaks to you about their background or whoever they are. We work with clients all over the country in different parts of the world, and we're always happy to talk to people.
That's beautiful. So, folks, that's xmlfg.com. So you probably want to check that out. Hey, Brett, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. This has been wonderful. And you know what? If you're open to it, I'd love to have you back sometime in the future to talk about other things.
I would love to. I appreciate you having me.
Appreciate you being here. Hey, folks, stick with us. We're going to be right back here on Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show on UK Health Radio.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money pretty much every single lesson that relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. Again, I want to thank you for joining us, sharing us with your friends and family. All the replays are available on savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to go to our YouTube channel, check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your life, and live a life of personal financial freedom. Again, you can always go to Facebook at Saving with Steve Sexton, on the Insiders Club, savingwithsteve.us, to get all the replays, exclusive access to our show videos, guest gifts. Takes you all to a whole new level. But today, here we are, just a few weeks from Thanksgiving, a few weeks from Christmas. People are moving fast. They're stressed. They might not be thinking about things. Now is the time to start talking about the type of scams that you're likely to see and what's happening here in the holidays. Holidays season is a prime time for cyber criminals to take advantage of, you know what, of the distracted shoppers. And here are some of the most common scams to watch out for. First, fake online stores and gift scams. Scammers create realistic websites, offer too good to be true discounts on popular products, and you want to be cautious of the deals that seem too good to be true. And the reason why I say that is you're going to see things like iPhones set up being $1,200 for $300. You're going to see things like that. You're going to see a toy for your son or daughter that's usually $200 that you can get for $56. You're going to see a fake Walmart ad. You're going to see a lot of fake type of things. So you really want to pay attention. Put your cursor over the email where it comes from. Okay, you'll find out it has a different name, not the one you thought it was. The next thing is phishing emails and text. Scammers use fake delivery notifications or package tracking emails to trick you into providing personal information or installing malware. Also verify the sender's domain and use official shipping providers' websites to track a package. So that means if you get a link that says track the package, hey, if you already got the tracking number, just take that over to UPS, United States Postal Service, Federal Express. You know what? You can always go to those websites. So the key here is to go to the next website because you don't want to stick with the one you have. Okay. Phishing emails. Many emails look official. And when they look official, you want to make sure to put your cursor over that name because sometimes they have different names, or all of a sudden they come from a different country and so on and so forth. And those are the ones that are scams. Next, charity and donation scams. Fraudulent charities may appear, you know, during the holidays using emotional appeals to encourage donations that, you know, are intended for recipients. You want to verify the organization through sites like the Charity Navigator or GuideStar. Again, that's Charity Navigator or GuideStar. During the holidays, there's, you know, the Policeman's Ball, the Policeman's Foundation. There's all sorts of them. You just want to make sure who exactly they are. And sometimes, you know what? They're not even legitimate charities. In fact, if you see some charities that are trying to raise money for something that occurred, like some of the floods that we see that are happening throughout the country or in other parts of the world, that are flat out scams. So you want to check Charity Navigator or GuideStar because you'd be giving money to somebody's pocket that they're looking to steal from you and take away from people who legitimately need that help. Gift card scams. Scammers may ask for gift cards as payment for services or products, which are virtually untraceable. Always confirm gift cards requested through a direct conversation or a verified phone. Now, here's the big thing about that. You have so many people that say, hey, I just give me a $50 gift card or give it in Bitcoin or something like that. The big thing about gift card scams is that it's money, it's real currency. So it's really important that you validate that you have a valid gift card if you're receiving it, if you're giving out gas. Now, when I talk about gift cards, some people have went and brought in like a $500 Visa gift card. And when this happened to one of our clients, who was selling a very nice bike, and they got a $500 Visa gift card because the person was buying it for $450 and said, you know, I've got this $500 one. You can just keep it. When they went and checked to see how much money was on the Visa gift card, the Visa gift card was a fake, which means they just gave their $500 bike away or $450 bike away for free. So make sure you check. Fake shipping invoices or vendor scams. Businesses may be facing fraud during the holidays where scammers create fake invoices to steal money from businesses. You know what? As a business owner myself, I get these all the time. They say that it's an invoice from a certain company. And then when I check, I put my cursor over the email. I find out it's not the same in the company. And for some reason, there's a long, you know, long piece after at, and it usually is in another country. So very important. If you're getting an invoice that you're not sure you have, don't click on it, just delete it. You want to stay vigilant to protect yourself by following best practices, being cautious of any deals that may seem to be too good to be true. If you suspect a scam, report it to the appropriate authorities. Protect your personal information is the key. Now, one of the other things that's been happening lately, whether you're a business owner, or you're just, you know, everyday person, people are getting these emails, or actually they're voicemails, they're AI created voicemails that say, hey, we've approved you for a loan. It's only this much a month. Press 2 to talk to somebody to provide the final pieces of information. I get emails about 8 to 10 a day for the same thing. I get voicemails. I always know they're a scam just because I did not put an application for a loan anywhere. So keep in mind, when you get something that's unsolicited, whether it be for a loan, credit card, to buy something, it has a high probability of being fake. If something's too good to be true, it'd be fake. Many people right now, in addition, are receiving IRS phone calls from people at the IRS saying, hey, I'm with the IRS. You owe us $400. You owe us $4,000. We need this tomorrow. We're going to put you in jail. It's basically what they say, or they have something else. Please know the IRS doesn't call you. They mail you. Okay. They send you mail. Even then, if you get mail, go to the internet, look for the IRS website, look for the phone number to call, and call the IRS. Okay. Call the IRS. You do not want to get caught up with talking to somebody who you didn't think, you know, you thought was real, but wasn't. So call the IRS, get the number off the internet, get it in the phone book, call for information, whatever it is, but call that number. It's so very, 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 very important. Now, one of the last things that happens a lot this time of year is everybody's looking to, hey, I want to have a date for the holidays, for the Thanksgiving dinners, the Christmas stuff, the New Year stuff. And that's why they call it cuffing season. Okay. But this is very, very important. Many people will go to websites, dating websites, to start looking to date people. Okay. And many of these dating websites, the individual you'll talk to, you'll start talking to them. It seems like you've known them forever. They're really good at this. They say, hey, you know what? Let's connect through my email, or let me send you an email. And you start connecting offline. You start communicating via phone or being text or what have you, but you never really see them. Or if you see them, it's a really good version of them. And you know what? They get very emotionally attached to you. You get emotionally attached to them. You're 2 or 3 months in, or you're 6, 8 weeks in, what have you. And you're, you know, maybe you're looking to get together or something like that. But the big thing here is this: you want to make sure they're real. If you see their picture online on the dating site, make a copy of that picture and search it on the internet. You might find that that picture is the same picture of a model that's somewhere else. Okay. It's a scam. Okay, if they especially start asking you for money or asking you to help out because they've had something issue happen with them, or they're stuck in another country, or they, whatever the case may be, or they're stuck in Louisiana or whatever, you never end up meeting them. So it's really, really, very important. If that's happened to you, I highly recommend you call the police. Now, here's the other thing that happens with these relationship scams. They're called a plump and dump. And what happens is somebody starts, you start in a relationship with somebody, you're talking to them all the time, it becomes very close, you haven't met yet, okay? And they, for some reason, have an uncle or a brother or a dad that's a cryptocurrency specialist or a stock market specialist, okay? And you know what? They're talking about all this money that they're making and stuff like that. And they said, hey, you know what? I'll connect you with them. You have a conversation with them. And the next thing you know, you put $20,000 or $30,000 into a crypto account, and it's going really well. So you put a little bit more in the crypto account, and it's going even better. And you put a little bit more in the crypto account, and then you decide you need to take your money out. But then they tell you, hey, you know what? You have to have a minimum balance before you take any money out. So you put more money in so you can take out your money. How crazy is that? But some people do that. And I've seen on multiple occasions where people have come in to get their tax return done. And you know what? They're showing this $300,000 or $400,000 distribution on their IRA. But what they did is they took that $300,000 or $400,000 distribution, gave it to somebody else to invest, and that money's gone because that person never came back. And you know what? You have to file a claim with the FCC, your local police, to let them know you got scammed. I know it's very embarrassing. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to write off on your taxes. So, folks, if you feel like you're getting in a relationship, and there's a monetary component to it, means they're talking about somebody who invests really well, who's making a mint in cryptocurrency or something else. Or somebody says, hey, I need some help with some money. Can you help me? I'll pay you when you get back. And they need a few $1,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. A lot of these scams were $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. But there's also people who've lost $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 in the relationship investing scam. And basically what they do is they get to the point where they've given them everything and there's nothing else. And then they dump them. They don't talk to them anymore. So folks, take care of yourself. Watch out for yourself. And you know what? I just want to share that with you before you go into the holiday season here. Watch out for the ones you love and care about the most, because this happens to them because they're you know what, they don't have their cackles up as much as you and I, because we see it every day. So with that, I want to thank you for joining us here on Saving with Steve. Look forward to seeing you next time. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio.